Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
We've got good news. The world is open again, and people like you, people of faith, are traveling to Catholic sites around the world. Want to travel with exceptional Catholic leaders this fall, next year, or in the future? Are you looking to see specific sites, celebrate traditional Latin Mass, or travel to destinations without vaccine requirements? We are here to help you deepen your faith on pilgrimage. Give us a call at 1-800-842-4842 or visit us online at selectinternationaltours.com. Select International Tours is your pilgrimage company, and we have the perfect Catholic trip for you.
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
Today, I am here to give you the assurance that I have not forgotten you.
If we want to see the new evangelization become more than just jargon, if we want to see it grow legs and gain traction and change the world, we have got to take seriously our responsibilities as husbands and fathers, and especially as sons of God.
I want to propose to you then that something that our world is desperately in need of in the midst of this crisis is Catholic Christian masculinity.
If you want to be a good father, then bring your children to confession with you.
I can't get there unless I become a man of ascesis, a man of asceticism, a man of training.
A man not doing penance, a man not disciplined, is not a man.
You guys have upped your game.
You know what, guys, I gotta say, I love this the concept of Man Show.
Warning, the Catholic Man Show is about to begin.
And this episode is entitled "Why Your Parish Why Your Parish Needs Man."
Instead of what?
Instead of men. Why your parish needs men. It just says "Why Your Parish needs man." I like it better.
We'll just roll with it. Welcome to the Catholic Man Show. We are on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass, even if it is a water glass. Welcome to all the men who are doing Exodus 90. Dave Niles here with Juan on the buttons. Also, he is...
Did you just say that you were David Niles?
No, David Niles is here.
Okay.
With Juan on the buttons. He also is the one who titles all of the shows.
Just well, at least he types it out on the... He
types it in there, just throwing that out there. We also have Jim here with us this evening. He is making sure that no one is going to get through the doors. And we also have our good friend, no stranger to the Catholic Man Show, Father Brian O'Brien, priest of God in the Diocese of Tulsa in eastern Oklahoma, pastor of St. Francis Xavier in Stillwater, Oklahoma.
I just am noticing the title is even better because there's a question mark at the end. It's called "Why Your Parish Needs Man."
There it is.
It's so good.
Father, welcome to the show.
It's good to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, it's good to always have you back in Tulsa.
Is laughing allowed in Exodus 90?
Should we tone it down?
Yes. Yeah, you need to go take a cold shower. Welcome back to Tulsa.
Great to be here.
You were the president of Bishop Kelly High School.
I was in my former life.
What was no longer. What was the hardest transition? Because you go to seminary. You're focused on like becoming a parish priest. You get thrown into more of the... You probably were an associate pastor for a little bit, but then you get thrown
year
into...
Year and a half, yep.
You were at Christ the King, right?
Yeah, a year and a half.
Right, and then you get thrown into being the principal at Bishop Kelly for 10 years.
Yep.
So that's a long time.
And were you also the principal? Were you the principal and the president?
Formerly president.
Okay.
Yep.
And then you get back into the pastor game. What was the biggest... difficulty in the transition? Like, what was the one thing you were like, oh yeah, I forgot about being like...
Were you rusty?
When I was at the high school, I was very rarely like in hospitals and nursing homes. And now I'm in hospitals and nursing homes a lot.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Like two, three times a week.
Right.
And I just didn't do that. I mean, occasionally, a kid would break their leg or something, and you go and visit. It's super, it's easy, Mm-hmm. That was a big change. That was a big change for sure. And then also just like the especially preaching, you're preaching to
a target demographic,
high school kids and like teachers and parents. And now, preaching it to high school kids and parents, but also, 4-year-olds and 90-year-olds.
Yeah, before you could give like the don't be stupid homily over and over and
over again. Well, you can make like everyone in the church is between the ages of 14 and 18. There's certain, literature references you can make. There's certain sort of pop culture references you can make.
Mm, yeah.
That now don't work.
Twilight homilies really
sports.
Really,
I mean,
hit hard.
I could, sports reference.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm like, all right. I mean, I would need to, you have to make like sort of cross generational
sports references, sports. Like Oklahoma State references.
Plenty of those.
Sure.
Always.
Do you, be honest, do you bash the Sooners in any of your homilies?
No. I don't.
You might think about it. I mean,
no, I kind of keep it classy, respect for the opponent.
I do think actually bashing the Sooners is pretty classy.
I do have one parishioner who went like to OU.
Okay.
So you wouldn't lose that many.
He sits in the back.
So you wouldn't lose that many. It'd be
No, people love it. Yeah, people love a little OSU reference. But you can't go to that too many times. I mean,
right.
Sure.
Not trying to be cute.
Right.
I'm gonna preach the gospel.
So you're there with Father Kerry Lukulich, also your co-host of Pastors of Pain.
We have a little show. Yeah, a little show.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. And
with a very specific demographic, mm-hmm. Payne County, Oklahoma.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How's it? How's Father Kerry doing?
Father Kerry's doing great. He's building a brand new building.
Yeah, I'm super pumped. It's right by the football stadium.
Right next to the football stadium.
Can you believe that? Like, what real estate?
It's great.
Yeah.
It's great. There was a lot. I don't know if that was, I don't know what was thought of. I mean, we've owned it since the 60s,
right.
The diocese has. And it's awesome. And especially when that new church is done, they're already kind of talking about the evangelization opportunities on a football. So there's six home football games every year. It drives the local economy.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just going to have just a huge opportunity. I mean, thousands and thousands and thousands of people walking by to come in and pray. And
it's going
to
be a beautiful church.
And it's going to be a beautiful church.
Which is, beauty evangelism evangelizes.
Yep.
Stillwater is really, I mean, you're not cornering the market on it because, we still have Holy Family Cathedral.
We're hanging on.
It's pretty nice.
Yeah.
But man, you guys are like really loading up.
There'll be two brand new churches within 5 years of each other.
But not just brand new churches.
Beautiful
brand
churches.
New,
churches.
Beautiful
really
churches.
Really nice churches, yes.
Yeah, beautiful churches.
Yes.
Because
very key.
Beauty attracts.
Yeah.
Not all churches
we still,
are
we've
the
been
same.
There 4 years in our church. And we still have people who like stop by all the time.
Do you have the stained glass windows? Do you have the stained glass?
Stained glass windows is a kind of a 2022 project.
All right.
I mean, they won't be in by 2022. We're 2022. We're going to make significant progress on the stained glass windows
because you need to have someone make them and design them.
Yeah. So we're actually choosing a company right now. So we're kind of talking to a couple different companies.
Nice.
Can't be that many of them out there.
No. And the hard part is that kind of the size of it. So our church is, it's big and there's a lot of windows. And so we talked to one company and it's kind of a small operation and they said, we can do it. And we'd probably produce, a window about every 6 months. And I'm sitting there like counting. And so start to finish, the project would take 19 years.
Wow.
And I'm like, no.
That's we can't do that.
That's not going to cut it. Because, what if like the artist...
What if he dies?
...quits or dies or, like,
now
okay.
Now you're in trouble.
Now we're stuck.
Right.
Anyway, so we're looking at a larger firm
uh-huh.
who can really crank it up.
You got to go big with stained glass windows. You just like look at some of the other parishes, like in Pawhuska. It's just
that's what we want.
Such a...
Kind of that German... We've kind of centered in on, like, there's a, you can Google it, kind of the Munich style.
Okay.
So that's what you see in a lot of those Holy Family, are, you know, the church in Immaculate Conception in Pawhuska.
I mean, but Pawhuska is a beautiful church. It's an older, smaller church.
Yep.
But people come from hundreds of miles just awesome. To see their windows.
Are awesome.
And, like,
yep.
if windows will get people into your church,
yep.
all right, spend money on windows. Like, yep.
And we want them easy to, solution. You know, that a building can preach. And so we want our right. windows are going to be there, be very biblical. One side will be the Old Testament prophecy. Right across from it will be the New Testament fulfillment of that prophecy.
Ooh.
So it's going to be, you're going to walk in, you look left. Oh, okay, there's.
Are you going to sneak Mary in like a whole bunch?
Oh, Mary will be in there a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We love Mary out in Payne County. I don't know about you. I don't know about you guys over here, but we love her. We're doing a parish-wide Marian consecration right now.
Are you?
Oh, yeah. Nice. 33 days to Morning Glory, Father Gately. It's beautiful. Yeah. We have about 150 people
doing it.
That are I was
doing
just it, talking to a guy of. About that today. The guy who runs the Perpetual Adoration Chapel at St. John's here in town.
Yeah.
Trying to get several of the local parishes here in town. To yeah. all do it together.
It's been awesome. We did like during Advent, we did a couple, like three talks on Mary, mm-hmm. called it Meet Your Mother. And then that was leading into the consecration. I'm pumped. It's so good.
That is awesome.
Sweet. So we're going to talk about how to evangelize men in the parish.
All right.
Talk about that today.
I'm down.
This evening. We've talked a little bit about... this aspect in different ways. We had one show, I can forget what it's called, but it's something like how to evangelize and not be weird or something like that.
Yeah.
Well, and
for some people, that's a struggle.
Right. And then we've also had
you
one
could just
where,
do a show on how not to be weird and that yeah. without evangelizing.
Yeah, I also well, think that for some people, that is a struggle.
That yeah. is a struggle. Yeah. And then I think we've talked a little bit about like the responsibilities that men have within their parish.
Totally.
You know, and what they're called to do, what the lady is called to do, even in the Second Vatican Council, earlier today.
You were just carrying
boom,
that
just,
around,
you know, just hanging out with the just carrying the two dots,
carrying the documents, you know, in my pocket.
No big deal. But it has this the calling of the lady and saying that the priests need obviously the lady to have lay apostolates, and it's actually their duty to do so.
Yes.
So I think it'd be good to talk about this. Talk about, I think, some of the struggles that I think we're seeing. Some of the struggles that
definitely
some of the bigger parishes may have versus some of the smaller parishes. I don't know.
Yeah.
And then whatever else you want.
I'm down. No, that's that is a worthy topic, and I think one that can challenge the listeners.
All right. We're here with Father Brian O'Brien from the Diocese of Tulsa in Eastern Oklahoma. We'll be right back. The money that we earn throughout our lives, it's important to invest it. It's important to invest it for our children's sake, for our retirement's sake, in order that we may also be able to donate more money to the church and to charitable organizations. But a lot of times it's really hard to know where your money is going and if it is a moral place to invest. And that's why we rely on ChristCenteredCapital.com. ChristCenteredCapital.com points out what companies, organizations, and charities are aligned with our Christian values. Maybe more importantly, which companies are not aligned with our Christian values, so we can make morally informed decisions on what to do with our capital. And Mark over at Christ Centered Capital has provided us with a promo code to give you 1 month free at Christ Centered Capital. It's TCMS 2022, TCMS 2022, no obligations, 1 month free. You can check it out and rest assured that your money is going to morally sound companies. ChristCenteredCapital.com, where do your values lie?
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles, here with Adam Minahan, Father Brian O'Brien, priest of God. We got Juan on the buttons, Jim guarding the door. People get so confused at what we mean when we say Jim is guarding the door. Just don't try to come in here. If you do try to come in here, you'll find out. That's all I'm going to say. I'm going to leave it at that. So just don't.
We get more comments about that.
People are like, what do you mean he's guarding the door? Like,
who is coming in?
What? Like, is there a
tough neighborhood?
Do you have like
small children?
Do you have like, you know, like bricks of gold
inside? There's a dog.
There is a dog.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so can I tell a quick story? So we got a new dog. Molly is her name. So we've bought this dog right before Christmas. But, you know, dogs can't come home. They have to stay with the mom until about 7-8 weeks. So Haley and I knew we have this dog coming, but the kids didn't. We kept it, you know, hush.
You lied to your children. Great.
No, we just didn't say anything.
Oh.
They had no idea about it.
Sometimes they do lie to them, though.
So we get into the car. We're going to go get the dog. And, like, we just tell the kids, we're going on a trip, okay? And because I was like, I can't wait to see what their face is going to be like when we show them a puppy. We're bringing them home. It was the most anticlimactic thing I've ever done.
Like, you see all those videos, like, on...
Yeah, so we get there. We show the puppy. And Jude is kind of, like, standoffish. Luke doesn't really, like, come around. And we find out, like, they think that we are taking a puppy from another family. You know, that the puppy is somebody's puppy and that we're taking the puppy. And so, like, they were not...
So mean.
Yeah, they were not very excited about that, obviously. Dad. Yeah, they're like, no, we're not doing that.
I cannot support this.
I thought stealing was
and
wrong.
Then, yeah. Right. And then on the way home, it finally started clicking with them. Like, no. We bought this puppy. Like, this is our puppy. You know, they gave us
this
the puppy.
Is legitimate.
Right. And then it became exciting. But
Mom,
like,
and Dad are stealing puppies.
I wish I had that to do over again, because we kept that secret for a long time to get, like, a reaction, and it just did not happen.
You needed some more clarifying this, like, the situation.
The status.
Right.
The puppy status. Right, exactly. Look at this puppy. Guess what? This is our puppy now.
That's what I did.
Well, obviously.
And they thought,
up.
Like, I was staking my claim and, like going off for a duel or something.
I'm just
going to
say, you messed up.
I know. I agree. It was frustrating. Anyway, so we're talking about men in the church, in our parish, or we're going to be.
Who else can transit? What is the word?
Transition.
Transition.
Thank you. Definitely not you.
Never mind. Let's just keep going. Yeah.
I can't spell it, but I can say.
Okay, so we're talking about men in the parish.
Yeah,
the
where
church.
Are they?
Where are they?
There it is.
How do we grow and grow the men culture, the men's culture in the parish? What do you see, Father, from a priest's side? What do you see? How active are your men in your parish? Let's call them out if they need to be called out.
Yes and no. I mean, active and inactive. I like, and I think you guys have talked about numerous times, and I've seen it written in a number of places, of just the importance, especially of fathers in a family,
mm-hmm.
that in many ways, if the father is practicing their faith, is going to mass, if the father makes the faith a priority, the odds that the children will make it a priority go
right.
through
skyrocket.
The roof. I think, so in my parish, we have a lot of men that are involved at lots of different levels. I will say, though, what tends to happen is if we have an event or we have some kind of initiative, there tends to be more women than men. And I'm sure there's like a sociological study of why that is. But I think there are times when we have made, whether just like in the parish or just like a kind of across the church, we've made things more kind of female oriented.
Feminine.
And like, I mean, either the way we, you know, the way we advertise something or, you know, I mean, you guys have found out, you know, I mean, just with this group, I mean, the amount of people that watch this show and like have been kind of inspired by it and Exodus 90 and the camp out and like all that. There's something about kind of men being together. And it's not that men can't be with women.
I'm a big fan of being with my wife.
Yeah. If a man can't like be in the presence of women.
I also like my wife.
Like, yeah. Good. Okay. You guys passed. If you can't be around women, then you got a serious problem. But there's also something about like a men's only gathering. Totally. And I think what happens, I know this happens in my parish a lot of times, is like a guy's like, you know, kind of moves in or is, you know, goes to daily mass or is like all about their faith. And the immediate thing is like, he has to join the Knights of Columbus. And right. It's like, okay, fine, but maybe he doesn't want to, or maybe that's not his thing. Like how many sort of outlets for men are there besides the Knights of Columbus. And I think that's something that kind of across the board that parishes can work on. So there's always things you can kind of plug into. He can be an usher, which is fine. And like, we need ushers. But is that a way that a man like draws deeper in his relationship with the Lord? Is the Knights of Columbus like a way that a man draws deep? Potentially.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's going to a men's conference once a year. I mean, yeah, maybe. There's opportunities for those conversions. But I think we're not doing enough to kind of set up men to be around other men of faith, to be inspired, to grow in their faith, to learn how to be husbands and fathers and men in the church. I just think it's something we're not generally good at. Which is, I think, where you guys have kind of filled a niche for a lot of guys.
Yeah, I think one of the problems with like your average parish gathering is that the things that you're doing while you're there do not really excite men very often. You know, like, oh, let's sit around and like talk to each other. Like, that's cool. You know, depend, like, if you get at a good table with people you know, like. But you know, just like the activities of whatever the gathering is, very often they were planned and executed by women.
Yep.
And therefore tend to be more things that women like to do.
Sure. Yeah, there's kind of that inherent bias, if
right,
you will.
Like, I don't know, you know, how many times is there like even a beer available? You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, we're here for like this thing. It's
after the 8:30 mass, where is the beer?
Right. Exactly. Like,
coffee and donuts?
Like, who wants crumpets? You know?
Like, coffee didn't get rid of the shakes.
I'm just joking.
Okay. That's not what we're talking about.
I'm just joking. Sorry.
You know, but like, so in my parish, the steak night at the men's club.
It's the most attended. There'll be
200 guys. To come.
Who runs it?
Men's group.
The men's club.
Men's club.
Okay.
But see, here's the problem that
I
have with
this.
But
on the regular men's club's evenings, like, there's not that many.
There's like 12. But here's the problem with that.
I don't know how many there are.
Our parish is, even if you say, there's like 200 guys. Okay. There's 1,800 families in my parish.
Yeah.
And like, we're like, there's 200 guys at the men's club.
Yeah, and you think that's so awesome.
And it's like, that's awesome. It's like, well, we have 1,800 families.
Yep.
That's.
Sure.
That's not very many.
Right.
So what's happening here? I don't. So I think that there's two things that I've experienced.
1,600 of the families are all vegan, so they don't want to come to steak night.
Yeah. So there's two things that I have encountered as I've gotten into men's groups. So one is that they see there's old guys in the men's club. They've been going there for years. New fresh blood comes in. New young guy. They're like, okay, now we got to get him plugged into everything.
Yeah.
And then they have this thought of, I don't have to, like, my work is now done. It's now time for the new generation. And what ends up happening is you just burn them out. You just like, I don't want to do this anymore. Like, you get to the point where you become the secretary, then the vice president, then the president of the men's club, and then you're...
Or you just never come back.
Right. Or and then
yeah, you come on too strong. And yeah, it's and then like, you come, right, yeah,
now
this.
You're in charge of the garage sale and you know all these other things. Yep. And then you're just like, that was too much work. Like, I didn't sign up for this.
Yep. Because you know? Like the reality is,
I have a family.
Exactly. Right. The older people in the parish, older men in the parish, they should be the ones running it. They have more time. You know, like if you're retired, you've got more time than I do.
It's true.
To run the men's club. Yep. So you should probably be the one doing
it. I think what one thing we have not talked about in all of this is Jesus.
Mm.
Yes.
Can I go there? Can I go there?
Big fan.
So I think a lot of times our men's activities are social. And social is fine. There's certainly a place for that in the parish.
And an actual need for that.
Yeah, and a need for it. Yeah. I mean, good hospitality. A steak night. I mean, a steak night for men, awesome, great.
Right.
But then I think one of the things that parishes, we've been kind of talking about this among the priests and deacons the last couple of days here in Tulsa. We've had this guy, Dave Van Vickel from Pittsburgh.
Awesome guy.
Has really challenging us on like parish evangelization. And the thing is like, you got to have movement. Like everyone is on... A trajectory. We're pilgrims, right? We're moving from one place to another. And so there has to be this movement in the parish, spiritual movement. Okay, so I've joined the men's club at my parish. I've joined the Knights of Columbus. I've joined a small men's group, whatever. To what end?
Mm-hmm.
If the end of the men's club is we meet each other, then blow up the men's club.
Yeah.
Now, if the end of the men's club is discipleship and love of the Lord Jesus, okay, now we're talking. And that happens through socialization. So out of the steak night comes small groups, let's say. In that small group, we study the scriptures or we study the kerygma or we... Okay, now we're talking. But if the men's group exists for men to get to know each other, or like I've seen parishes where it's like a lot of business contacts get married, like in the men's group. Right. Like blow it up, blow it up. What is the end of the men's group or the Knights of Columbus or you know whatever the men are involved in?
That is a good point.
Jesus is normally a good point.
Yeah,
let's go with that.
Okay, we'll be right back. We're going to talk about this some more.
Have you ever wanted to go to Ireland and tour County Cork or have a beer in Dublin or see the Cliffs of Moher? Well, we are partnering up with Select International Tours and we are planning a Ireland pilgrimage this year. Go to selectinternationaltours.com/Catholic Man Show and we will keep you posted on everything that's going on. Ireland is one of the places that you are able to travel to, whether you have a vaccine, whether you don't have a vaccine. There's no quarantine. All you have to do is have a negative test within a couple days. So anyway, we're planning a trip to Ireland. We would love to have you there. Go to selectinternationaltours.com/Catholic Man Show and let's have a beer together and cheers to Jesus in Ireland. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. Here with Father Brian O'Brien. Father made a great point before the break. If you're just not joining us on the radio or some of the other avenues in which you can listen to the Catholic Man Show, we were talking about if the men's groups are not focused towards Christ, if the end is not Christ, if we're not calling these men to reconciliation, to love of the Eucharist, to adoration, to a call to holiness, then blow it up.
Blow it up.
Like,
yep. And that's true of any, you know, you look at, I mean, you kind of look at, more generally, look at parish ministries, you know, in general, when people say, oh, my parish, we are so busy. We have over 70 ministries. And then, but to go back and say, okay, great. I mean, okay, good. But to what end?
Right.
How many disciples are being made by these ministries? And if it's none, then what are we doing? And so I think
you have 70 distractions.
Yes, right. Yeah, 70 ways in which a room is being filled or people are coming to the church and there's no movement towards the Lord in your life.
Yeah.
And so I think you run into, you know, specifically with men's groups, I think there's a lot of good. Man, there's a lot of good. We see it all over our diocese, a lot of good things. But I think there's also the temptation to make it purely social. It's all about, you know, it's kind of blowing off steam, getting together. We talk about our wives. It's no good.
Which we've talked about on the show before. Men do not do that. Yeah. We've talked about like,
I mean, unless you're talking about her
in a positive way, but that when you're saying blow off steam, talk about your wives, that's kind of
right. Unhealthy. Yeah. It's unhealthy.
Yeah. Well, you took a vow to honor and uphold her.
Yeah. I will love you and honor you all the days of my life.
There's not like a caveat except when I'm at the water cooler or...
Except steak night.
That would be a weird vow.
I get to throw you under the bus at steak night.
I'll just give one example in my own life, in my own parish. I have a little group, and I was really just trying to be intentional. And my parish is no model of men's ministry, but what we're trying to do is build the sucker. And so I put out. It was 2 years ago, kind of right before COVID, an email to. I don't know what it was, 12, 14 guys in my parish at that time who I thought, okay, these guys are leaders. Other men look up to them. And I wanted to be an intentional pastor and just and to lead these guys in a certain way to towards sort of what we would just call spiritual multiplication, right? That I'm gonna mentor these guys, you might say, sort of disciple these guys to the end of them then being able to go out and do that with their own families and with others. And so we used a little kind of a program. There's a group called Catholic Christian Outreach, CCO, out of Canada. And they have this like five-part book series. And the first book is called Discovery, and it's just about the kerygma. Who is Jesus and what does he want? The second book is about the Holy Spirit. The third book, I'm going to get this out of order. The third book is about kind of a life of discipleship. The fourth book is about trust. And the fifth book is about evangelization, going out. And we've just been working through this book, and it's scripture, it's church documents, writings of the early church fathers, of mm-hmm. the recent popes. And for me, it's been super edifying. I have six guys we've met, COVID on and off, but basically every Friday morning at 6 a.m. from 6 to 7:30 at my kitchen table for the last 2 years. And it's been awesome. And we're about to end. We're 3 weeks away from being done. And now my challenge to those six guys is, can you do what I just did and go out and find five, six guys and lead them in this way mm-hmm. to raise up leaders in the parish? Now, you got to be very intentional. I mean, it took a long time. Mm-hmm. Right? It took a lot of energy. It takes a lot of that kind of one-on-one. I think a lot of times we are too, with men and with women and with kids too, like we just bring like a speaker. We bring in a speaker.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Like that was our men's ministry. We brought in like a manly, kick butt, awesome speaker. But where, like, what's the follow up?
Right.
Where's that leading to? Is that leading to that man?
It's the small group
who hasn't been to confession in 5 years going to confession. Like that's where that movement is. That repentance towards
right.
a greater and deeper relationship with the Lord Jesus.
Some accountability, even.
Yeah. And so that's where, I mean, guys out there that are talking about kind of men's groups. Like it can't just be social.
It can't.
Social is certainly a part of it. But it can't just be social. Where is it going? To what end is this group of right. men meeting and reading a book, doing a Marian consecration, doing this consecration to St. Joseph? To what end? Ultimately, to a deeper love of Jesus and his church.
Yeah. I think there has to be some level of like natural attraction, right? You know, just like get people there, right? Because you know, mm-hmm. if you're like 20 and you show up at the men's club, and the next closest person to you is 20 years older than you, or more,
right?
Then it's like it's gonna be really hard to get more 20-year-olds,
right?
So you have to have something. But ultimately, I think your point. I'm so glad that you made that. Is like, look, what is the point? Why even get them there if you're not going to do something with them? If you're not going to introduce them to Christ?
Yeah.
Because this is the church.
And that doesn't have to be at meeting one. I mean, steak night. As you right. know, yeah, we're gonna have good food and some beer.
Mm-hmm.
But then what? Okay, mm-hmm. now we got the names. Now we got names of men in the parish. Okay, now we're going to invite them into something else. If it's just steak nights, you know, you can do that anywhere.
Right, and I think that's what the men's conferences are good for, right? You know, they ignite, they get people going, they get people off their butts, they get people moving. The movement starts, but it'll easily fall off if you don't follow up with them. If you don't
totally,
you know, go back and shoot the email off to them and thanks for coming. Hey, here's a group of guys that you should meet with within your parish. These are all the guys who came to this men's conference from your parish.
Yep,
here's their contact. You know, you have to do something like that. Because I think the real evangelization happens and the real, like, the sharpening iron happens in these small groups. I think it's harder to do when it's big groups.
I think a men's conference or even bringing in a speaker there, I think it facilitates like an initial encounter with the Lord. I mean, I think a lot of guys have some pretty serious conversions.
Sure.
You know? I mean, I think those conferences, you know, one of the beautiful things as a priest, like going to some of those things is the confessions, you know,
right.
You get guys who a speaker, like just, you know, hit them right between the eyes, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, you guys on
call to action.
On like the intro of the show tonight, you know, mm-hmm. like I forget what he, I think it's Father Meyer from Indianapolis. You know.
Oh yeah, he's in
a
there.
Man who doesn't. What he said, like who doesn't do penance.
Man who's not disciplined.
Yeah, is not a man. You know.
Yeah.
So like you know, you say something like that, and guys are like, "Oh, crud!
Am I disciplined?
Man, I stink. What am I? Haven't been. You know, I haven't been to confession in 5 years.
I'm a woman.
And so I'm gonna go. And so that initial encounter, but then like, but then what? Then
right.
what?
Right.
And so that's where yes, yeah, so that's where small groups come in. That's where, I mean, I know you guys talk about like, you know, adoration and I love walking into my parish church and seeing, well, when we have adoration, I love seeing the Lord and the monstrance, beautiful, but then looking around the church and who's there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot of women, but also a lot of men who come. I mean, like I know you guys do, like you take an hour at your parish.
Mm-hmm.
That's so important for the man to like have that time with the Lord. But for other people to see that, we have a guy like this guy, and he kind of rolls in, like with his kids, and I know you guys do that. You bring one kid. I think mm-hmm. you've said over the years.
Yeah,
it is so beautiful, like for other to see. I mean, as a priest, I'm inspired by the men of my parish who come and do a holy hour.
Mm-hmm.
Are they there to impress me? I hope not. But it, dang it, it's impressive.
Right,
it's awesome, and that's what we need more of.
At Holy Family Cathedral, we've seen a blossoming of families coming together. And the men's group starts once a month with 45 minutes of a holy adoration and confession.
Mm.
And then we move into the social. And some,
love it.
And sometimes people go and they say, oh, I can't stay for the social part. But they know that they chose the better half to show up to.
Mm-hmm.
So they can see that connection.
Yeah, and I would be worried if guys were like, hey, we're gonna do a holy hour, and then we're gonna have you know a social, you know, and the holy hour is two guys, and the social's 50.
Right.
All right, we got a problem. There's the lack of conversion. Our speaker these last couple of days here in Tulsa, talking to the priests and deacons, Dave Van Vickel. He one of the things he said he tried to implement at his parish in Pittsburgh is every meeting. No matter the meeting at the parish, every meeting begins with like 5 minutes of mental prayer, and then somebody gives a 5-minute testimony of how Jesus has impacted their life.
Just somebody at the meeting.
Yes, at every meeting.
You're not going to bring someone in to do that for you. Like
it ought to be somebody in that meeting,
right?
And wow. And we were all just like,
which oh means my that gosh, eventually think... it's going to be you. You're,
yeah, yeah.
You mean you can't? Yeah. You can't avoid it eventually. Right.
Yeah, if you're in a small group.
Right. Well, we heard Karen last week. Susan, it's your turn.
Yeah. Could you use we're the only two people. So I love that nice that
I'm just
idea.
Picturing at a parish, so it's obviously women.
Just prioritizing. So, I mean, to Juan's point, I mean, what they're doing at Holy Family Cathedral is beautiful. And, yeah. And the message that that sends to men is prayer first.
Mm-hmm.
Socializing, good. Totally. But guys, prayer first. And what is it? And you said one holy hour with confessions.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a priest or two available. I mean, that's awesome.
That's awesome.
And then guys can count on it. Guys can count on getting into that regular practice of confession, trying to fight back against the sin. And
yeah, having the support of the parish priest for the men's group definitely helps. Yep. That is definitely a... Yep.
Right. Men respond to authority, and like having the authority of the priest there makes a big difference.
And, calling them out to come. Like, hey, men... I'm here. You don't think I'm busy? I expect you to be here as well.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Kudos to the priests of Holy Family Cathedral.
We're here with Father Brian O'Brien. We're talking about how to evangelize men.
What are we talking about?
Why your parish needs man? We'll be right back.
We are at the beginning stages of Exodus 90, and if you did not sign up, but you were thinking about it, you were on the fence, the deadline snuck up on you, it's not too late. Go to Exodus90.com and join the fraternity. Let me just read you a couple of the testimonials that are on Exodus 90's homepage. Just go to it yourself. That's Exodus90.com. It says, "For men who want something more than the advertised Christian life, any man who wants a solid, faith-filled family should do Exodus 90. Does that sound like something that is interesting to you? Here's one that's even more hard-hitting to me. In the bottom left-hand corner, it says, "I felt like I got my husband back." And that was from a wife. So, man, if you are interested in
growing closer to your Creator, if you're interested in figuring out what your vices are, what maybe is keeping you from your Creator, what's keeping you from the one who loves you, go to exodus90.com, sign up, and join us. Exodus 90 offers a path to freedom. So go to exodus90.com, join a fraternity, and let's do this together.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles, here with Father Brian O'Brien. Father, I have to give you a compliment. I had a client who went to Stillwater, and he was floored, is what he said. I believe that was the exact word that he used.
Floored?
Yes. When he walked in, he was there, like, meeting his son, who's, you know, a student at Oklahoma State University.
Go Pokes.
And, like, they went to the parish, and he said he walked in, and there was at least 100 kids, he called them kids, you know, college students, kneeling in adoration.
Yeah, yeah.
And he said, and they weren't even using the kneelers. They were, like, kneeling on the ground. It was, I couldn't believe it. It was amazing just to see that many young people.
Beautiful.
So anyway, he said he was really impressed with
love it.
Parish life.
Yeah, there's good things. Good things happening in Pink County.
So here's my question for you. And I think this might be where we run into difficulties. You get guys together, we've got like commonality. How is it that you get them from there into a small group? Like, how do you divide them up? You know, it's like, okay, you six, now you're like lifelong friends. You know, go be in a small group together. Because sometimes I think that's where I've been in situations where it's like, all right, we're going to divide you into prayer groups that are going to meet for the next 12 weeks. And it's like, well, what if you put me with people I don't like? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to, like, that's, I want these people to go to heaven, but that doesn't mean I want to meet with them every week. You know, to pray, okay?
I don't love them that much.
Like, I want some, like, I'll pray for them, but I don't want to pray with them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. So I would say a couple things. The, going back to, okay, we're going to be in a small group, and what is the small group going to do? Like, what are you?
I don't know. Yeah.
And so I think if you have kind of a clear path, and so that's why, I mean, I mentioned earlier kind of this, the Catholic Christian outreach, these kind of booklets that are, it kind of walks you through. And I think anyone could do it. I mean, so if you were in a group with someone you didn't know very well or didn't, I don't know, like, or, you know, you had dissimilar interests, your commonality is the content that's, you know, that's in it. And so if the purpose of the small group is social, then you're going to want to have, okay, we all like whiskey and cigars, or we all like show tunes and champagne. Yeah. But if you get out of that, I mean, if the commonality is a desire to go deeper in one's faith, then cigars and show tunes,
they don't matter,
may coexist, may sit side by side,
right?
Because the common desire is, yeah, I'm a Catholic and I want to know more, or mm-hmm. I'm not a Catholic but I want to know more about the church. When that's the commonality, boom, then you're rolling. Mm-hmm. Because then you can have people of different ages, different kind of married men, single men. I mean, the group that I have on these Friday mornings, all six are married, all six have children, but they're, you know, different ages. Kind of on the older side, 60, on the lower side, 30 something. But the commonality is we all go to this parish, and we all want to draw deeper mm-hmm. into our relationship with the Lord.
So, what would you say? Like, if so, I'm just going to use myself as an example, I might say, look, Father, I already have different men's groups I'm in. I already go to like adoration hours. I'm already doing like all these things. You know, I've got four kids at home, one on the way. Like,
oh, you haven't even made that announcement yet.
I'm just saying hypothetically.
Oh, okay. It's like, oh, wow.
Does your family know?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Hypothetically, they know. Even in the hypothetical situation I'm talking about. You know, like, I don't have time for another men's group.
Yep.
What do you say to that person?
So you may not need it. I mean, I would say there are kind of two points. If your faith is growing through the things you're already doing, mm-hmm. through your daily prayer, through the group that you're in, then great. Then you might not join a group in order to sort of make those goals of living a more virtuous life and deeper prayer. But I would also say to those who are committed disciples, including the guys in this room, if you've had an encounter with the Lord, you've had a conversion, mm-hmm. you've made a conscious decision at some point to make Jesus Christ the center of your life, I think that comes with it a certain responsibility to now help others do the same. Mm-hmm. So to look at your own life and say, okay, who helped me? Okay, maybe it was my father, maybe it was my mother, maybe it was my priest, maybe it was this small group. To say, okay, the Lord is the center of my life, and that came about through in all these different ways. How now can I look around my parish and bring other guys along? So I think part of discipleship, Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations. That was the last thing he said. That's kind of the final mm-hmm. commandment. And so it can't just be, and I'm not coming after you, but like it can't just be about I'm growing. My faith life is on a great path.
Right.
In the church, we have to be able to say, I'm going in the right direction. And
I got
to
bring them with
me. And I'm bringing people.
You have to take care of your own faith life, no doubt. But,
yes.
But I think
you can't give what you don't have.
I agree, Father, that if you are, I ask that question because I think probably a lot of our listeners also might fit into that category. Yep. People who are already serious about their faith, and they think like, I don't need I read all these books. Yep. I devote myself yep. to all these great things. Well,
and they're worried about getting burned out.
Someday we're all going to stand before the face of Christ at our, at our judgment, and he's going to, bring these situations up. Was he calling us to do something else? Yep. So it's something we have to be honest about, I think, in your prayer life. And if you are a disciple, then I expect you have a prayer life.
Yeah, disciples ought to make other disciples.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It just should be part of it. And so, how can I help the men of my parish? I don't know that it's another social. I think it's... the gospel mostly is spread through personal relationships.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Standing on the street corner kind of has its place. A big conference has its place. Mm-hmm. But where the gospel is transmitted, and not only just sort of spoken, but planted, and where that seed is watered and where that seed grows, is in the life of the family and in the life of the parish, in personal relationships. And so that we get into these relationships with guys. So for those who are committed disciples, look around the parish. Who's out there? Who's kind of ready? Who's looking for more? And maybe it is the guy who shows up at the steak night. Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Let's go. Let's get him.
Or maybe it's someone in your office. I mean, it's not always going to be like a
somebody from church
through the parish.
Right.
Right. Your disciples and
yeah, we stink at like inviting people to mass. Just in general,
like you have all of these different things. Your kids are in groups and there's other parents there and like. Whatever it is, there's guys all around you, and I know that probably everybody listening can think of at least one person who, when they think about them, say, you know what? He might be open to hearing, listening when I talk about
the basic message of the gospel.
Yeah, to the kerygma. Yep. If it came up in like a normal conversation yep. way, right?
And even just the first part of the kerygma, is that God loves you. That's a message I think we kind of assume that people know.
Yeah, you're right.
But a lot of people don't know, and so to be able to share that basic message that God loves you, sin entered the world. Christ came to conquer that sin and now calls us into a relationship with him.
Yeah. And even before you start off telling them God loves them, you can start off by telling them, I realized God loves me.
Yeah.
And that he called me and here's the things and my own relationship was bad. Yep. And so I had to do all these things. And then you can say, and you know what? The same is true with you.
Yep. So my next group at the parish, when our little this kind of group of married guys, when we're done in a couple weeks, is young dads.
Oh, great! Yeah,
young dads. I got three on the hook, and we're gonna invite some more. And I'm just excited because these guys are, they're church going, but they're tired. Mm-hmm. You guys know what I'm talking about.
I'm not tired.
You were.
I'm sorry, what?
You were at one point.
I'm always tired.
So kind of thinking looking around the parish, looking around work, looking around, your kids' soccer team, looking at who are those men out there who are in need of an invitation, who are in mm-hmm. need of...
Yeah, and I think that's a great spot to put, more father-kid events together. know, there's a lot of things where there's mom, you know, mommy's mom and me and all these kind of other little things that happen at the church, but there's not a whole lot of dad and daughter dances or you know, dad and Saint Troops of St. George, I don't know, whatever it is, but so incorporating the kids with the fathers in the parish geared towards them to...
And doing, like, I mean, as you guys talk about, kind of manly activities, you know? Bring your son and we're gonna...
Chop wood.
We're gonna chop wood. We're gonna fish. We're gonna hunt. We're gonna...
Sharpen knives or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep. It's like all of that stuff sounds like stereotypical, but it's awesome. Like,
yeah.
Have you ever held an axe to a grinder? It's amazing. It's okay. A lot
of fun. Sporting clays. That's fun.
Yeah.
Sporting clays.
Yes.
Yeah, Father Carey would be
all
game.
Of the above. Father Carey Wakulich would be all about
does
it.
Does he even know what guns are?
He does. He does. We had to make a rule about we have a balcony on the back of our rectory. No,
it's not a shooting range.
And there's like woods behind the rectory,
so it's a great shooting range.
And there's wild turkeys that live in the.
What if it's bow hunting? What if he can smoke a turkey from the balcony
with a bow?
That I live downstairs. He lives upstairs.
That sounds legit to me. That's a tough shot.
But we have deer. I mean, deer, rabbits, snakes.
So, what would you say to? We're about to run out of time. What would you say to the guys?
We're
going to
keep
parish?
Going. Afterwards.
Yeah, we'll keep going because I have other questions that I want to ask you too. But what would you say to the guys who are thinking about starting it but don't know anybody in your parish? What would you say? How do I get involved?
Are we coming back after the break? Or I'm answering right now.
This is.
Oh my gosh! Talk to your priest. Get another guy. Get other guys. Start it up. Go out for a beer. Get a steak, and then come to Mass together.
Okay.
That's a good start.
Yeah, it's a great start. We're out of time. If you're listening on the radio, go check us out on the Catholic Command Show for the rest of this episode and all of our other episodes. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
And cheers to Jesus.
Okay, so Father, here's something that I wanted to bring up, but I wanted to bring it up after the radio because I think it's...
This is when the real people are listening.
Yeah, this is when it gets good.
So you look at like parishes around Tulsa, and you say, and you go to their men's groups. Dave and I have been to quite a few different ones. You kind of see a trend happening, right? So you see that you show up to these men's groups, and they're 50 up, you know, or more.
Yep.
There's very little. Whatever happened, I guess maybe the 70s, I don't know, but like the 40-year-old range people, the early 50s, 40-year-old range people are like non-existent. Like there's just no one that age. And then there's like, if you're lucky, there's a couple younger guys, right? So you're like trying to figure out, well, why are these older, like why are these, some of these guys dedicated to the men's group still? Like what's bringing them there? Why are they still coming? And they're the same group of guys that, you know, have been here for 20 years, they're active in everything that they do. When you consider them the men's group, those are the 20 guys that you think of.
Yeah, and I think it's because they enjoy each other's company.
So I think it's because they helped start the parish.
Could be.
Or the men's club. I mean,
Helped start the men's club.
They have a stake in it.
Yeah, so they helped. They're the men who laid the sod at the parish because the parish didn't have the money to hire a groundskeeper at the time. Like they were just getting started. They were the guys who planted the tree that is now, you know, 50 feet up in the air.
Yep.
They're the guys who, you know, made all the flower beds. They're, you know, they have so much work that they've done.
Ownership.
Ownership
of the parish, sure.
And so I think possibly what happens when you become a bigger parish and money is less of a worry. Like you can, we can hire that out. We have people who mow the yard for us. You know, we have a groundskeep crew. We have a plumbing issue. We just call a plumber. When you have that luxury at times, there's no need anymore for the men in your parish. There's no need. It's like, hey, listen, I know that we're here on Sunday morning and there's a leak here. It's because no one showed up Thursday, Friday, or Saturday when I sent out an email saying that we have a plumbing leak.
Yep.
And so there's no men are men of action. You know, they want to be needed. They want to know that they're needed, and they want the responsibility, even if it takes you like you sitting them down, being like, "I need you here."
Yep.
And so when that doesn't happen anymore, there's less ownership involved, and then in my opinion, that's where the disconnect a lot of times can be. It's like I could show up. It's like this is how I felt with one of the councils that I was on, a church council. It's like I showed up for 5 years to this thing, and I did not feel like I could be here or I could not be here. It doesn't like I'm not doing anything. Yep. I'm just here. You asked me to be here, and I'm going to be here, but I'm bringing nothing to the table here. Mm-hmm. You know, like this is a silly thing for me to be a part of, and then you don't want to do anything else because yep. I don't want to do that anymore.
Yeah, you don't want to say yes to other things,
right? And so, how do you balance that? Like, or like, what are your thoughts? Am I off the mark? I'm happy to.
I would pull it back just a little bit and say, what, you know, is like, what was the show called? What's the show called? What's the role? What do we call it? What's the show called?
Do we need a man?
Why do parishes need men?
Why do parishes need men? Okay, so there it is. So I would say, so why do parishes need men? Is it to fix stuff? Like, is that why? Like, is that why I need men to like come to my parish in case like something breaks or to like mow the lawn? No. That's an outpouring of their desire to help, mm-hmm. and to, you know, they care about the parish. But go back further. Like, why does the parish need men? Because men are husbands and fathers, and if the faith is going to get passed on, it's going to come
through the initiators.
Through, in large part, husbands and fathers. And so there's a maybe kind of two parts to it. Why does the parish need men? Because, you know, men have an important role to play in building the kingdom of God. And then also, why does the parish need men? Flip that around. Why do men need the parish? And they need the parish because that's where they encounter the Lord Jesus in the sacraments. Mm-hmm. And so I think what we don't want to do is like sort of whittle it down to the men's role in the parish is the men's group or to fix stuff. Like the men's role in the parish, I mean, if you want to really pare it down, what is the man's role in the parish? And the man's role, I would say the man's role in the parish is to become a man of prayer. That's the man's role. And then out of that prayer, out of that encounter with the Lord in the Eucharist, comes a desire to fix stuff and mow the lawn and cook steaks and run a small group. But that has to come out of discipleship. I think what we see, you can tell kind of that there's maybe, and I don't mean this judgmentally, but like, you know, kind of a shallow faith when the guys in the men's group and like new leadership is chosen and they're not in the leadership and like they stop coming to Mass. Come on. Then where was that
right,
faith? Yeah. If they're defined in the parish by their role in the men's group or the Knights Columbus, or whatever it may be, they ought to be defined by that guy is first and foremost a man of prayer. So if you got kicked out of all of everything you were doing at the parish, nobody wanted you.
Nice.
Nobody wanted you. Yeah, nobody wanted you to be, you know, do anything or at the parish. You would still have an incredibly important role to play in the parish, which is you're a man of prayer and you bring your family. Mm-hmm. With you.
So last week we were talking about the soul of the apostolate, and that's like one of the things he talks about all the time is it compares the active life to the contemplative life, mm-hmm. and how much more important the interior life is than the active life. That it's and he had all these great quotes, and I can't remember any of them, but like there's one bishop who said, I would take 10 Carmelites over 100 missionaries.
Yeah, the power of prayer.
Right, just because, yeah. Like, I'd rather have 10 Carmelites in my diocese than 100 missionaries without the Carmelites.
Well, and I would ask them, you know, the guys who are listening to this, in that book, Dom Chatard, he talks about, like, the heresy of good works.
How do you say it?
Chatard?
That's what we said.
Yeah.
Chatard.
Yeah. Chatard.
It's just
C-H-A-T-A-R-D.
It's just a funny name.
I don't speak French, but...
I don't either,
I think that's how you say it.
Try to sound like I do.
Okay.
You know, the French, they're always like laughing weird.
There's a high school in Indianapolis called Bishop Chatard. That's why I say it like that. So there we go.
What's their mascot? What's their mascot?
I don't know. The Frenchman.
He's going.
So if... Oh my gosh! No, I lost my train of thought.
Interior life versus the active life.
Oh, so the heresy of good works. So if you're in the parish, men who are listening, if you're in your parish, how do people in the parish see you, or how does your priest see you? Is it sort of in a functional role? Man, I really need that guy because he mows the lawn and does a great job. Man, I really need that guy. He's the treasurer of the Knights of Columbus. Oh, he's in such an important role. Those are all functions. Dave Van Vickle, he was hitting the priest hard, and he was saying, basically telling us, like, your priest, your interior life needs to be solid. You need to have time for mental prayer. You need to be spending time with the Lord. And if you're not, then your works are fake.
Mm.
Then the good work being done by you and your parish is a sham, and it's a fake, because it's not based in the Lord Jesus. So for the men, okay, doing, you know, so I'm going to start a small group, and that's really cool. You know, all good and fun, but to what end? Where's it coming from?
I think that's I think that's a really good answer. My struggle is, though, I'm not pushing back.
You can
so
push back.
No, I'm not, because I think you're right on. I mean, it's impossible to push back on. You need to be a man of prayer. I agree. Yep. But I also see.
I'm not sure.
I call BS.
I'm getting along fine.
But I see guys who I see every, you know, every Sunday. They take their kids to Holy Mass.
Nice.
They are there. I see them after Mass. I talk to them for a second, but they're nowhere in sight when it comes to the other things that you need, the active part in the parish life. And, like, you can't get them involved. It just seems like, there's some... Where is the disconnect where there's some guys who started the parish, they have the ownership, and they desire to see it keep going, versus the guys who said, like, oh, I'm just getting my kids to Mass.
I would go back to your comment about whatever council you were on, you know, and feeling like you weren't really needed. And so your time is valuable, right? And you don't have enough of it. And so, I think when guys see something that's worth their time, where they really can kind of use their charisms, we would say, in the church, they're gonna, they're much more likely to show up. Okay, I am really gonna be of use. I can really, you know, really kind of in a concrete way help my parish, but I'm not just going to show up to show up. And so I think creating more of those kinds of opportunities, which is hard, because I think it is hard when you have, you know, when you have a staff that does the toilet breaks, we call a plumber.
Yeah. You know, and I think it is kind of hard because, I mean, like what we said already, the point of the men's group is to make and encourage men to become holy. So if those men are at home, you know, dedicating, you know, like praying a holy hour at their house instead of showing up to the men's group, well, that's maybe better, you know. But also, if they're not coming to the men's group, you know, like if the active things, you know, the good works, so to speak, then kind of helps build your interior life also, but ultimately, it doesn't matter whether they show up as long as they're holy. But we have to invite them. The thing is, we're not all holy, right? You know, like, I'm still working on it.
Clearly.
A lot.
Clearly.
I work on it a lot.
But I would say, you know, a specific invite. I mean, we make, you know, we do like announcements at the end of Mass. And I could make all the announcements I want. But like, what's going to be, if I could say, okay, well, this weekend, we have a little group at the parish, they're called the Sod Squad. And they do on Saturday mornings, they come out and with, you know, edgers and mowers and get after it and like make the grounds really beautiful. I can make that announcement, or like a member of the sod squad goes to a non-member of the sod squad and says, "Hey, would you like to join the sod squad?" That would be infinitely better than my post-mass announcement.
Again, we just stink at invitation, don't we?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then, you know, does the sod squad, then, you know, that group, they gather for prayer. Does that lead to a friendship, which leads to a small group, which leads to drawing this guy deeper into the life of the church?
I like the name.
Yes, I do too. I'm very proud of it. It's basically the best thing I've done as a pastor.
Did you come up with the name?
I don't know if I did.
Wait, that really diminishes the best thing I've done as a pastor.
Maybe the best thing I've done as a pastor was done by someone else. I'm an imposter.
That's okay. I'm okay with letting other people. Like I've said it many times, Pamela, Lady Pamela, she has all my best ideas.
I don't have a Lady Pamela.
You should, well.
No, you should not.
No, I shouldn't.
No, you should not.
I think I did come up with Sod Squad.
Great secretary,
I think I did come up with Sod Squad.
Nice. Well, is there anything that you want to leave? Like,
yeah,
make sure to
I would say for guys, what is your, the greatest contribution you can make to your parish and to help your priest is to be holy. That your prayer life is in good order, that you regularly take advantage of the sacraments.
Mm-hmm.
I would much rather a husband and father come to confession and come to Sunday Mass and, you know, maybe take an hour of adoration than join the men's group.
Totally.
No. Yeah. Can you do all those things? Certainly you can. The best thing men can do for their parish is to be men of prayer. And then when you've had that encounter with the Lord, you're then in a position to then invite someone else into that, to know what you know, to give what you have. That's what we need. And so, you know, if I mean, this sounds weird, but like if quitting your men's club so that you have more time for prayer is what you need to do, then quit.
If it's absolutely coming down to that.
Yeah, I doubt that.
But there is something to be said about understanding what you're good at and understanding what the gifts that you have and being able to say no to things.
Yes.
Because part of the problem of getting burned out on things is that you continually say yes to everything, even though you think, well, I'm not really the person for this.
If you have trouble saying no, I recommend there's a nice little article called, or it's a book, but started as an article. It's called The Power of the Positive No. Just Google that. Power of the positive.
You explained that to us one time. And it will teach you
how to say no to things nicely.
Well, I mean, I can't do it today, but.
Oh, well, that is a great idea. And that sounds like it's going to be really valuable for the parish. I'm not able to join, but perhaps maybe next year we could talk and discuss it.
Yeah. And people go.
You
like,
just said no.
Right.
While affirming what is a good idea and open the possibility that I may join in the future. But right now, no. And the other way to do it is to go, no, that's dumb.
I like that way.
That's not very nice. Power of the positive no. Check it out.
So I'm going to sum up this is that, like, guys.
Are you going to sum up?
Christ is calling you to holiness. And it's a good thing you're a man because it's going to be really hard. Okay? Like, becoming holy is not easy. But it is the best thing and most important thing you will do in your entire life. And in fact, it's the reason you're alive. Mm-hmm. Is to become holy, to fall in love in deeper relationship with Christ every single day. It's not something that like, okay, good, I have a good enough relationship.
Right.
Okay? It never ends, and it always is better. That's the great thing. It's always hard. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know like why holiness is like this is like feminine idea, because to me, like the pursuit of holiness is like rough and arduous.
For men.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. It's just like full of nobility. Mm-hmm. So that's what you got to do. You got to be holy. And then once you have found Christ and you love him, then share him.
You bring others along. St. Paul VI said that the church exists to evangelize.
Nothing else matters if we don't get to heaven.
That's right. Okay.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks.
Great to be with you.
Yeah, thanks for coming on the show.
Come to Stillwater.
Last minute, too. Oh, there's somebody who reached out to us. Hey, why don't we...